Chris, how are you doing, sir?
Bill, doing well. How are you?
What is, I know you're a 24-hour-a-day guy when it comes to what you do. Do you let it down any, let's say, over the holidays, like the 4th?
No, I really don't. I used to, you know, when I get the thing that I do when I have time and I haven't done it for a while is I'll play golf. I belong to the University Club here in Baton Rouge, which is the home of the LSU golf team, and it's, you know, it's right here where I live. So I used to do that. It's just that, you know, the time now, my buddies, you know, I still get the text every week of when the tee times are, and but just with kind of where things are and some of my health issues in the past, I have it kind of avoided. I've avoided it. Plus, adding so many things and trying to hire people, shows and all, I've just been a little bit busy. That's all I do. I'll put something on the grill. Don't know yet, but I'm just going to be writing reports. I am cranking out the college reports on the website, so that's what I'll be doing all weekend. Probably hit the grass, cut the grass probably Saturday. That's it. Fun, huh?
Well, I mean,
it's me.
I won't be going anywhere per se. I know that, but we'll just be hanging out here, cutting grass and cooking out, probably like you. That's about it. That's about as complicated as it gets. Every state is starting to decide or announce what they're doing about the high schools, and I'm talking about football in particular. Tennessee's kind of holding back. Georgia's looks like they're full go to open up. Is there any news out of Louisiana?
Nothing definitive. Blake, of course, works for the state, so he may have some ideas of what politically is coming down the pike, but no, nothing that I've heard definitively yet. And I know that there are some high schools kind of getting together with some of the volunteer stuff. You know, you hear a little bit about that going on, but no, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hear the definitive on that. And I do know that that in conjunction with that, it's certainly a big factor. We've got a governor that's very, very pro athletics and pro LSU, but is mindful of, you know, making sure that you handle things the right way, too. So nothing definite on that I'm aware of.
Chris, going through this summer, as we prepare for the season, hopefully we get there. Sometimes the news is negative. Sometimes it's more positive. It depends on what day it is. But you see any teams that – we've already talked about how the experienced teams, particularly if you have a quarterback, have a leg up and an advantage here. But you see any other teams that might have an advantage going into the season that might not be named as much?
I think in general, which is not what you want, but I think it should be said, I think in general, the ones that have incumbent coaches,
right,
systems that haven't changed, you know, certainly that would mean a head coach that maybe, or at least coming in as a new head coach, the coordinator change. If you've got stability there, you're in better shape. And if you're bringing back a veteran squad, we've discussed that. In terms of who that puts what team in, I mean, I do think that, for example, even though they're replacing a lot of guys, I think you have to look at Ohio State and Clemson because of the fact that they're bringing in a lot of stability off the staff and a lot of key players that are returning. Replacing a lot of guys, you know, no doubt, they always do, a lot of players going into the NFL. But I think those are in pretty good shape. I think even like, you know, just taking it by conference, like a North Carolina is bringing back a lot of guys in the ACC. I think that I think Alabama, outside the quarterback situation, which is still pretty young, is bringing back some, you know, key guys that on the offensive line in the running game. I think it's those type of teams that I think in general have the bit of an edge. Teams with a new coordinator, a new system, new quarterback, those I worry about the most. The other thing I would say, too, is that is double for the developmental program. So, like, if you're talking about programs, a Northwestern, an Iowa, you know, a Utah, programs that develop, you know, Kansas State, programs that are the ultimate developmental teams that they develop guys through years, well, then you lose a big development. Whereas if you've got the elite talent guys where you can plug a guy in and you got a lot of good talent around them, but this guy can, you can limit what you ask him to do. So the elite of the elites will have an advantage because they maybe can plug a guy in athletically with not having to worry about, hey, he's not quite developed yet. They can get to that down the road a little bit more so than a developmental program that requires the meal to be cooked, slow cooked, and it takes a while to do it. You, those programs can microwave it a little bit more.
I heard this come up, and I don't remember where. What about a team, and there aren't many teams like this, maybe Wisconsin and Iowa, that actually line up and use the fullback and two tight ends? Would that be an advantage early on?
I think, yeah. I mean, I think it can be. I mean, if that's what you have and you have the ability to do it, I think
right.
that the – I think maybe what you're getting to, and you know, I think that when you're dealing with a passing game of any sorts, you're dealing with rhythm and timing. So if you are behind a little bit in those timing and rhythm issues, then lining up and running the football is something that would be advantageous. But I would say that would be more so than with the dominant run teams, the team that can run it. I mean, I would, the first thing that comes to mind is, okay, they haven't done it recently, but, in lieu of maybe a lack of symmetry, look out for an Alabama or somebody that wants to pound the football right at you with that big offensive line. So like Northwestern or, you know, Iowa's a good example because they've got they've got a good offensive line coming back, but they've got two guys that are really, really good again. But if you're talking about the development stage, they're not going to blow people off the ball. So it won't be as advantageous. But I think schematically it helps a little bit if you can do something that doesn't require as much timing and rhythm or much repetitions.
Yeah, and you brought up something just then. If that's not part of your package, you probably can't install that real quick. Either that's you or it's not.
Yeah, and if you can find some fullbacks, you know, let me know.
Good luck.
They're really hard to find. And it's usually what it is high school guards. You know, that's high school guards become fullbacks. They're pretty athletic and maybe do some things, and they also play on the defensive line. You know, what do you think about fullback? And the kid says, huh? A what? I don't know what that is. But, yeah, no, I think – and there are very few of them, but no, I think that's true. And look, I mean, you know, you've got developmental programs – that if they don't have the stability in doing it, look at Stanford. That's a developmental program, but look how much they've slipped off a little bit. So even the developmental programs still needs to have the fuel and the ingredients to develop, and you need them a little bit more consistently over time. And again, if you don't have a spring, you have a limited training camp, well, the development part is hurt by the fact that you don't have it. So I think, again, it goes to the advantage of just the better skill, go out and make a play, just win individually. You can get away with that a little bit more because you can, as you like to say, out-athlete people, because you can do that.
Shocking question for you here, Chris. One question I probably wouldn't ask, but I find it interesting. Cam Newton to New England. Give me the cliff notes on that.
Well, it's no downside to New England. There's no risk involved. There's no signing bonus. It's a 1.1 to 1.3 base. He's not even guaranteed to make the team. So if for some reason medically he doesn't clear it or he doesn't have a good camp medically, then nothing's lost. They don't owe him a penny. If he has a great season, he can earn up to $7.5 million. You can't find a backup quarterback in the NFL for less than $10 or $12 million. So they've got him for a song, and if he works out well, great. If he doesn't, you know, so what? They miss on a lot of these moves with New England, but they always leverage it with they don't take the risk. So there's nothing lost. They're not replacing somebody with him. They're just adding him in and seeing how it works. If it works, they've got a cap on what they have to pay him. If they don't – they're fine. It's kind of like an indexed annuity, Bill.
Is there a better job, Chris, in America than being a longtime journeyman backup quarterback in the NFL? You don't even get reps, do you? I mean, it can't be a better gig. Now, of course, if the dude gets hurt, then that's different. But I'm saying if you're 10 to 12 years just basically was you as the backup making money you're talking about there, mm-hmm. you never even get hit, do you?
That's right. Well, you get 10 to 15% of the reps during the week. You normally need to be a guy that's very, very cerebral and experienced, right, because you're going to have to absorb the game plan every week as if you're going to play with only taking 10 to 15% of the reps. So you need to get it mentally and not have to have a lot of reps to do it. It's tough in that respect, but it is easy physically, relatively speaking, playing football, because you're right. If you're behind particularly a warrior type guy, you know, man, it's great. But then you got a case like, you know, Drew Brees never gets hurt. Got hurt last year. Teddy Bridgewater comes in, and you're 5-0. It gave that team a chance. So you got to be ready. But it is a good deal to have, and you can collect that for a lot of years and really retire wealthy.
Chris, you got a couple minutes on the other side?
Absolutely.
Okay. Chris will be back with us. Take the break right here. If you got any questions, you can put them on Twitter, at Bill Isking, and I'll pass him along to Chris. We are presented by the place where we will have commitments this year, December 16th, actually, Omni Nashville Hotel.
He spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
Chris, a little bit off the path, but I was noticing this yesterday. Did you see the story out of Tuscaloosa on the COVID-19 parties?
You know what? I heard about it. Yeah. No, boy, it's shocking that that would happen on a college campus. And, you know, a bunch of college kids, yeah, I did hear about it.
Story is in Tuscaloosa and surrounding areas, just for everybody. I'll make it quick. They're having parties, supposedly, where it's a COVID-19 party, and they purposely invite people who test positive but are obviously asymptomatic to come. And according to a council person there in Tuscaloosa, they have a pot. You put money in the pot, and whoever gets COVID-19 first gets the pot. That's the party.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard about this, but I didn't hear them say this, and this is not the same thing, but along the same lines. I don't know why it's popping in my mind, but I sent a message. I've known Boomer Esiason for years, but apparently he does a New York radio show. I've been on his show.
I saw this clip, I think, but go ahead. Yeah.
And I didn't even listen to it, so it's dangerous. You might be able to tell me, but I sent him a little cute note. He basically said, well, you know, down south, but you know, I'm sure all those schools are just lining up. They're purposely getting all those guys sick so he can give them a competitive advantage because, you know, that's all they care about. And it was, I said, that was so Long Island, New York of you, you bleep. He sent me a little smiley face, or I don't know. One was a smiley face. One of them looked like he shot me the bird. So I take that. But, you know, no, I think that's really interesting. I would say it's funny. It's probably not funny what's happening in Tuscaloosa. But, oh, well, I tell you what. I talked with someone the other day, and I said, 2020, the second half of the year, has got to be better than this. And this is a friend that's a professor at LSU. He said, you know, it doesn't have to be. He says it could be worse. I said, God help us, you know, because we've had a 2020 that I'll speak for everyone and say it's really sucked for the most part.
What Boomer said, he said what you said he said, but he said those teams down south like Alabama and he goes and include Clemson. He goes Clemson from the ACC, include them. You know what they're doing? They're getting their guys sick or getting them to where they're testing positive now to get it out of the way because they want the competitive advantage. And I don't know who his co-hosts are, but they all just sat there and agreed.
And, well, one of his co-hosts got sent to jail for a racketeering scheme. I don't know
I remember who
the new guy is, because I was on with him and Boomer a few times. But, yeah, no, I don't know. Well, it must be, maybe it's rating season time, you know. It's a hot, let's have a hot take, everybody. That's what the name of the shows are now.
Chris, Alabama's had and I'm not going to say resurgence, because Alabama's been taking it slow in recruiting on purpose. And you know Nick. I've interviewed him, but I don't know him like you do. But you know how Twitter is. People are saying, what's wrong, man? They're ranked like number 60. And I was never worried about that. That was going to adjust. But explain how Alabama's taking it slow, but they've also had a pretty good run here lately of big-name recruits.
Everybody assumes that everybody evaluates in recruiting the same way. Everybody has a system, and in fact, that's a big part of, I know with Nick, when he went to Michigan State, we kind of took together and took our Cleveland system, Belichick system, what we did in Cleveland, the Browns, and kind of implement in college and modify it to how it works. They're very meticulous on how they evaluate guys. And they're always like to make sure that they evaluate players correctly. I always say that, Bill, and you know I get that. Everybody talks about, yeah, stars matter. You know what matters is who gets the, are you evaluating correctly? Because a lot of those guys get misevaluated. And so they like to be very meticulous with that. Well, this year they couldn't be as thorough. They're in a position. They're not like, you know, some other schools that can't do this. They can do this because of who they are. They can, if you want to use the term, slow play a kid and say, we're not quite sure yet, we're not ready to step out. They're as they get closer and closer to December, you're going to see more and more of that. Look out for them swaying some kids that are committed to other schools that are quote-unquote, they're ranked five or whatever. Those rankings are going to get flipped by December, because a lot of those guys, is, you know, maybe have committed to school A because Alabama hasn't offered, but all of a sudden Alabama starts, you know, the pretty girl starts to blink their eye, and all of a sudden they'll come flipping. So I think that you're right. It's the process is a little bit slow. And it's having an effect. On the opposite end of the spectrum is interesting. I don't know if you paid a whole lot of attention, but the most notorious late offering school in America has been USC. And look at, because they know they've got to flip things around in recruiting, look how many early offers and look how well they've done. They're kind of neck to neck with Oregon out west in having a class that is really, really very good athletically. In fact, they got a 4-star along with Alabama and LSU yesterday. We got those details in the notebook. But, no, you're right. Alabama's going to be fine. People think, uh-oh. The uh-oh is after December signing day if they don't have it where they, you know, they're in bad shape. Listen, then they'd be in bad shape. But listen, Ohio State's got, what, like 21, 22 commitments. Alabama's got a dozen. Well, of course somebody's going to be ranked a lot higher. It doesn't mean that the quality, it's kind of like saying after the first drive or the first quarter the game is over. It's just not.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, tell everybody about what you've had in place and then all the additions and the podcast and all of that.
Well, as you know, we debuted SEC Gumbo. Blake wanted to get started out front of everybody. You know, he's just a bundle of energy. So the plan is and is still going to be mid-July. We're going to be busting out conference shows, different conference shows around the country. I'm going to back off some of those. I do all the conference shows myself. And I'm tired of talking, Bill, and I think people are probably tired of listening. So I'm going to still continue to do my stuff and do all the conference stuff and nationally. But Blake started with SEC Gumbo. We are debuting on the 13th and the 19th. We've got Tyler McComas and Brad Kellner are going to be handling the Big 12 show. In Defense of the Big 12 is the name they've decided. It kind of catchy there, In Defense of the Big 12. I love it. ACC show with Ingram Smith, who's got the most highly rated Florida State podcast, as well as Lawton Swan is going to be doing the ACC show and covering the entire league. Bruce Hooley, a 33-year veteran of radio and print covering Ohio State, and a young guy named Andy Andrews is going to be handling the Big Ten. I'm still working. A guy that I wanted to do the Big 12, excuse me, the Pac-12, couldn't get out of his current contract on another situation, so we're still looking there. But all of that's going to be debuting mid to late August. You can find out all the details on LandryFootball.com. We're going to have a college football handicapping show. We're going to have some you know, real good NFL stuff as well, but we're going to be focusing a lot on covering each conference a couple of days a week. I'll still be doing my stuff, so it gets different voices, different views. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're really, really excited about it. So check it out at Landry Football. And, of course, we got our scouting season offer. Bill, we've got all the SEC breakdowns of every school, you know, all the roster analysis. We're working our way through the ACC, and we'll soon have all the schools and all the conferences done. So check it out, LandryFootball.com. If it involves players, teams, coaches, schemes, from a coaching and scouting viewpoint, we bring the college football and NFL game to you, inside information and analysis. And the podcasts are free. The behind-the-paywall stuff, again, is less than $5 a month if you take advantage of that 50% discount. So that's where we are. We're really excited about it.
Chris, remember about 30 years ago, and probably until about 10 years ago, anything about gambling was always kind of a whisper thing, and it was...
Oh, I know.
That guy over there bets. Oh, my God. You know, and
yeah.
Now it's as common as going and getting a drink of water.
And, you know, a guy that I've done a lot, in fact, I do a podcast with, we do a college football film room preview and a pro football film room preview that can also be found on Landry Football. He's really, really good on the odds and things like that, and he stays up with it, just like your guy. I mean, you got to kind of follow it that way. And, you know, he always tells me that he goes, you know, he goes to Landry Football and he looks at a lot of details. But, you know, they look at it differently. They're maybe learning about some of the X's and O's and how it maybe their strengths are, just like the fantasy folks tell me they go there to get stuff. But I don't think in terms of fantasy football. I don't think in terms of odds. I think in terms of evaluation. So if you're a 10-point favorite, you win 9, it's impressive. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to a lot of folks. I recognize that. And I want to get the best people I can on for the audience and not just have me talking about that I think somebody might cover the spread when I really can talk about the X's and O's. So it's a good balance. You can have the football perspective and the gambling perspective, and that's what we're doing. But you're right. It is so mainstream now, and I think going to be even more so as time goes along.
Chris, we're out of time, but I got one more for you. You think, and obviously pro sports have always been wary of this, but I think they're starting to calm down a little bit when it comes to the gambling, because the gambling makes the sports way more popular. They understand that. They just really can't say it publicly. But could you see a day when people walking up to an NFL game, or maybe a college game, but let's say NFL game, could stop by a kiosk and get a bet on the game? Where it's controlled by the team, where the team has a piece of the action now.
Oh, well, why not? Didn't the NBA get some kind of or look into that? I don't know. I'm spit shooting there. Yeah, sure, I could see that. I don't know. I that may be a ways away.
Right,
Bill.
I
was told forever there would never be a team in Vegas. Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, say more. There'll be a Super Bowl there in that new stadium. Will there be a day? Yeah. I don't know if it's right around the corner, but I think they're embracing it. But they're embracing it with a stiff arm. They're embracing it from a social distancing standpoint. How about that to fit in? Yeah, I think that's possible down the road. Yeah, I do.
Chris, have a good one, sir.
Hey, happy 4th to you and everybody. Take care.
You too. There's